You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So I said on my Instagram and Twitter 12:15-ish, but it's, what's it, 12:20?
Yeah, I'm sorry,
it's
I lied not, to
no,
you.
No, that's right.
I said, I mean, ish. Come
Ray's
on.
Ray's sort of known for being fashionably late at times, so it's quite fitting that we're rolling
at 12:20.
What musician isn't? Well, I don't know. Well, don't put all the musicians into a category.
Prince is
but,
always on time.
Yeah, so last month, 20th of July, Razor put out an album with Mallow Downs, and Ill Baz was producing it. They did a collaborative album called High Beams. You've probably heard it on BFM. They had the song at number one during that time. I can't remember which one it was off the top of my head. I think it might have been Major, which we're playing after this.
So dope.
Yeah.
And Ray's been busy lately. Just before, like last week, he was in China for four shows in four days, which we talked about with a few other artists from his collective called Ammo Nation. And he came straight back to New Zealand and did three shows for High Beams with Mallow and Baz, and that was in Queenstown Thursday, Wellington Friday, and
it's
Auckland
like a proper New Zealand
on Saturday.
Tour.
Well, they just went bang 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 three in a row.
Bang,
so
bang, bang.
They played in Auckland and sold out before I could get a ticket, which I So it's been busy. I asked, what have I got here? he said he'd chat to me this morning because his body clock's a bit off from being traveling around, being in China and whatnot. So
yeah.
He said he might be asleep by now. So if he's having a sleep, I hope he's resting well. And I began by asking how the reception of High Beams has been for him.
It's been really good. It's been, I think when you've been working on a project for as long as we have on that one, you kind of lose that, that objective, outlook on it. So it was pretty cool seeing people consuming it and developing their own opinions on it. It's been a really good response. We've got a lot of good reviews from mainstream media, as well as some critical acclaim from the underground. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it must be nice getting that, like you said, mainstream, but also from the underground. It's not one or the other, which is it must be really encouraging.
Yes, yeah, I think myself, Baz, and Mello we still consider ourselves underground, rappers. Or, we definitely don't consider ourselves mainstream artists. So, getting that validation from our peers, is cool. I mean, that's something that we generally, have gotten in the past. But I think the new thing for us is kind of seeing ourselves in the Herald and in, in these various publications that might not have, put us in them before. So it's been pretty cool.
Hard out. And seven tracks on the project. Was that a shout out to Kanye West with the seven track albums 2018?
Yeah, well, we wanted to show him how to do it. Right? So, Kanye, if you're listening, call me. Let's talk. I could be the new Virgil.
get out to Wyoming and record another one.
Yeah. Get me out to, what do they call that place? It wasn't really that. I think it was more a case of, we had so many tracks. Like, man, we had like probably, I don't even know, man, we had like over 40 like demos. And, it was a real struggle to get them down below like 20 demos. But once we got them down to like 20, it was actually a lot easier to whittle them down to the best seven. But I think it was more a case, it wasn't about choosing the best tracks, it was about choosing a track that best represented the various sides of us, if that makes sense. We probably had other records that might have been more popular or might have done better, but I felt like, in the whole package of a project, they might not have fit as well. So it was just about kind of picking the best moments and, trying to create that kind of continuity, or trying to create, something that made sense when you listen to it back to front.
Yeah, I definitely think you guys achieved that. So awesome work on that. And you just finished on the weekend. You did three shows in a row, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Queenstown, Wellington, and Auckland. How were the shows? They all sold out. I missed out on tickets for the Auckland show, and I saw Baz on Twitter saying, don't even hit me up for the door list. So I just left it be. But I saw a few Instagram stories and whatnot. It looked like a good time at all the shows.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was, like you said, they were all sold out, which is pretty special when you're at the level that we're at. People in each city, people were rapping along, people were singing the choruses, you know, so it felt like, you know, it felt like people were there for the right reasons. You know, I always say, like, this one I knew was going to sell out, you know, and I always kind of say that in the post, but I always end up looking like kind of that standard thing that artists say, hey, get your tickets because this one's definitely going to
sell out quick. And there's like a saying that if people are saying tickets selling fast and the tickets aren't selling fast, but, you know.
So hopefully, you know, hopefully the people learned their lesson on this one.
I learned mine for sure. And what was the new venue in Auckland, Anthology Lounge? How was that?
Yeah, it's a great venue, man. It's like K Road near the bridge. Amazing sound system, really good vibe in there, great staff. I mean, we had a great time over there. That was my first time, you know, at that venue. And, you know, I kind of feel like between myself, Mello, and Baz, we've probably played every single venue in, you know, in the city except for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it was cool to kind of do something somewhere fresh.
And for the listeners who might not know, just before you went down to Queenstown, you'd been in China, like a short, sharp trip over there to play three shows, I believe. Tell us a little bit about that trip.
Yeah. So I was invited to China along with my collective Ammo Nation, and we got booked to play a festival called the Chengdu International Music Festival, which is huge. Probably over the 4 days that we were there, we would have performed in front of collectively probably 30,000 people. You know, so it was,
wow.
So it was crazy. It was like every day, you know, we had a show like every day. It was supposed to be three shows, ended up being four shows. They ended up giving us like the headlining slot, and yeah, you know, it was real cool to kind of, you know, to rep NZ on that level. A lot of people over there obviously not familiar with, you know, the music scene over here, so, you know, it was kind of cool being the first, you know what I mean, like the first glimpse that a lot of those people had of, you know, NZ rap. But yeah, it's just been such a whirlwind, you know, the last 2 weeks, you know, I've caught so many flights.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you must be getting your frequent flyer points up for sure.
Yeah, man, I think they're gonna have to give me the first class upgrade soon.
Especially, how tall are you, 6'4"? You could do with that.
I could do with some extra leg room, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. And that was your third time in China or second?
That was my second time in China.
And how did it compare to your first trip? Was it for the same festival last year?
Yeah, same festival. Yeah, it was better this time because I think we knew what to expect. You know what I mean? Like, I think the first time we were kind of like a little bit scared, a little bit like, oh shit, you know, maybe we shouldn't go and you know, exploring on our own, or maybe we shouldn't do this or do that. But this time, you know, we're a little bit more used to it. We knew what type of food we liked. We knew what to order, what not to order. We knew how to sort of catch a taxi and stuff like that. So it was a real cool experience. Did a lot of shopping. Bought a lot of fake designer.
Yo, for the fake. What was your best purchase?
I got the Louis V wallet. You know, I got the what else did I get? I don't know. I don't really want to expose myself.
Nah, you're good. You're good. Yo, we'll keep it at the Louis V wallet. That's tight. Yeah, yeah.
You see me looking splashy around town. It's all real.
I'll be like, damn, that high beams must have been getting some serious streaming for you to splash it on that Louis Vuitton. And you're saying for you, I know Mello's got another project coming out later in the year, and you've talked about a solo project coming out from yourself as well. Do you want to tell the listeners anything more about that?
Let me see.
You don't have to give any dates or promises or whatnot, but I know I've seen a few snaps. You've been over in Melbourne working with a few guys over there, amongst others.
Yeah, well, I guess I could say what I can say is it's not a solo project. The one I'm dropping this year is another collaborative project, but this time it's with a few of my favorite Australian artists, hip hop artists, and also it's produced by a pretty legendary producer from Detroit. So maybe I'll say that.
Yeah, that's plenty, man. You don't have to spill all the beans, but that's definitely got some ears perked up. And the year's coming around pretty fast. We're already in August, so there's not that long to go in the year. So don't have to wait. I'm not going to have to wait for too long for that.
No. I'm really trying to get that out as quick as possible. That's another project I've been working on for probably 2 years. You know, so it's, you know, once you kind of get to that point of in the journey, you just kind of get itchy, like, yo, I'm going to put this music out so I can start working on some new stuff.
Yeah, that was a question I had. I mean, you've been working on, you said High Beams as well for 2 years. Is that something you get, you've listened to a song so many times that before you drop it, you sort of think, you're sort of almost over a song before it comes out? Is that something you get when you release music?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I guess the thing that I've learned, you know, over my time in the music industry is, I've learned to kind of separate the way I feel about my music from the way I think everyone else is going to feel about it. I might get, you know, tired of, you know, listening to, you know, to a track, and, you know, sometimes, like, when you've listened to something enough times, you start to, like you were saying, you know, you kind of start to doubt yourself. You're like, is this even actually good? Like, do I even like this? But, you know, I found that when I put out my music, it's consumed in different ways. You know, people consume it in their own ways. So, yeah, I mean, I've been listening to these songs for the last 2 years, but I know that once I put them out and I see people, you know, consuming it, you know, in whatever way they choose to, it kind of changes the way I consume it also. Like, for example, I thought, after listening to the High Beams project so much, I was like, man, you know, what's it going to be like performing this, you know, three nights in a row? And to be honest, it gave me a new, you know, like a new appreciation or a new perspective on the project. So, you know, it's just a constantly changing, you know, process. But like I said, you know, I think the most important thing for me anyways is to try and subtract my ego and to try and put a little bit less weight on how I feel about it, because at the end of the day, you know, the music that we make, you know, gets consumed by other people. I don't really ride around listening to myself, so it might not be as important, you know, the way I feel about it might not be as important as maybe, you know, as I might think.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.